Well, this morning, it is my privilege to introduce to you Carol and Rick Berzerski. And we have become friends through divine appointment. I'm just going to share a little bit with you about why the connection happened. Being a part of the FCA, we're not a denomination. We're a fellowship of believers. And so for accountability purposes, the way it works, rather than having a headquarters and a whatever that, you know, go through things, it's between fellowship. It's about fellowship of believers. We endorse one another or encourage one another in what we have and what we see God has done in our life and support that way. And if one is getting out of line or something's going wrong, we come together to correct and redirect and that type of thing. So a church in the FCA endorses pastors. We did that a couple of weeks ago when we ordained Crystal. We are her endorsing church. For all the years that I have been here, Camrose Community Church has been my endorsing church. However, there is a guideline within it that says your church that you're a part of can't be your endorsing church if you're the lead pastor. So I no longer could let you guys endorse me in that capacity. You do. So it was like, Lord, who are the people? Where is the church that is supposed to endorse me? And just through a whole series of little wonderful connections and events, Rick and Carol and I got talking, and they said, we'd be happy to endorse you. And so their church is now my endorsing church. And I thought I shouldn't be the only ones to get to know how lovely and wonderful these people are and the ministry God has called them to. But my lovely, wonderful church family needs to get to know them as well. So Rick and Carol, their ministry is called Heart for the Nations International. They have a wonderful story to share and a good message. I was able to be at their church last Sunday on holidays. It was wonderful. And they have a wonderful little house church, and their living room becomes a sanctuary, full of all the equipment, all of this in their house. Bless you, Carol. So let's pray for them as they come to share this morning. Father, you are wonderful, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made and so unique and so wonderfully individual. And I thank you for the gifts of Carol and Rick, not only to their church community, but to ours and to the furtherance of the kingdom. So Lord, as they come to share this morning, I thank you that your favor and your blessing and your spirit rests heavily upon them. And we give you glory and praise for them. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Come on up, folks. And I'm going to give Carol this mic. And you're good to go.
Good to go?
You're good to go.
Do you hear me now? I don't know.
Can they hear? Yep. Okay.
Wow.
Turn the light on.
Okay.
Well, there we go.
There you go.
Oh, there we go.
I got a lot of cool equipment here.
Yeah, and no, it's not coming to our house.
Oh.
Well,
you know,
my living room is no longer my living room. Shannon?
Well, I just told her, just embrace it as new furniture. Right? You can hang out if you like.
No, I'm just going to say, I just want to say what a blessing Shannon has been to us. She did come to our little church last weekend. Honestly, as a church, as a congregation, you guys are very blessed to have such a wonderful pastor. Mm. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Shannon, for such a blessing that you are to us. Yay.
Yes, amen.
We know what it's like to work in the back, work in the front, clean the whatever, and we get it. Honestly, we've been there. We've done that. Hey,
Been there, done that
for a while.
We even have a t-shirt.
That. Yeah, we have a couple t-shirts that say we've been there and we've done that. Mm. My husband will share the message. I just want to say my name is Carol Berzerski. I'm Pastor Rick, and I've been married for 42 years.
Coming up
something
to
like
42.
That. I know, it's
we're
like,
married
what?
When
we
were 15.
How long have we been married? Yeah, we've been married for 42 years. 30-some-odd years we've been in ministry. Sorry, my math is not great. Having said that, I'm selling things in the back. Sorry about that. But yeah, we've been married for a long time, and we just love doing what you're doing. And so I'll get my husband to share his word today. Pastor Rick.
Hey, you don't have to go, honey. I like to take her everywhere I go. But sometimes I don't get to do that, right? But, I'll talk about a little bit what's in the back before I get into my message. We do a lot of mission work around Africa and the Uganda, Zimbabwe. We have a church in Zimbabwe. We have a church in that we are affiliated with in South Africa. We also have a ministry team that we work with in Uganda. That's really where our base is for our ministry, like our mission ministry. We've grown up in the Lord, just loving, you know, people and just being there for God's people. You know, God's people are, you know, not just one color, right? Right? We have a small church, but we have people from all over the world. It's really intriguing that you can have a small group of people and cover, most of the planet with who they are. But we believe that God has a mandate for us. And what we do is we go into areas of Uganda, and we have, a church in Zimbabwe. But in Uganda is our primary ministry. We minister to pastors. Right, and we hold workshops with them. We're involved with pastors' conferences, and when we get to Uganda, we're very busy. We go visit maybe anywhere from 10 to 15 churches in 3 weeks. So, and we tour, and we just minister to the love of God, eh? And at the same time, we have a thing that we do, and it's called a medical camp. I don't know if you're familiar with medical camps. So people come in from all over the district. Some people walk all day just to come to the medical camp. In Uganda and most of the countries in Africa, and we take our healthcare system for granted, right? We just go and we get treated. But over there, it's not like that. You need money, right? And it's hard. A lot of hardships, right, for them to even just get to see a doctor. So what we do is we come in and we take a church in the area, and we set up a clinic. We provide all the funding for the pharmaceuticals. We go buy pharmaceuticals. It's all on our website. I'll give you that information after. You can just look on our website what we do. And what we do is actually purchase the pharmaceuticals. We set up a lab, purchase all lab supplies, and we partner with doctors in Uganda. And then we take people who want to volunteer and to, do whatever the task is at hand, right? So we're going in November. I'm going in November, and I'm looking to take people with me. So if God puts something on your heart, I want to go serve people who are underprivileged and bless them with care. You know, we have, in 3 days, we have, I think the lowest number that we had come through is 750 people in 3 days. We partner with about 8 or 9 doctors, nurses, and they take care of all the medical thing. We report. We have a report there. I think my wife, she's bringing some reports. We have, and we get actually the doctors to write these reports. We don't write them. They write out what happened. And do you mind if I have that the report here that from last year? Just a little overview, special points. This is what the doctor has put together. He says, free medical consultations, over 750 patients seen, 28 people got saved. Like they come in, and we have people who are Muslim, who are actually witch doctors, whatever. People need help, hey? So they hear that the doctors come, and they show up, right? So we preach the gospel to them. People get healed. People get saved. You know, the Lord is moving, right? in their lives because, you know, Lord responds to needs. You know that? He's our healer, right? So he heals in different ways, but we're there to, you know, to provide the care that God would have us to provide, right? So then we focus on healthcare education, one of the two of the greatest needs in those underprivileged countries. So it's like our indigenous communities are the same, right? They're diabetes, right? And then help me out, honey. Oh yeah, blood pressure, the high blood pressure, right? So those are two major factors. We had a woman, one of the doctors calls me over, says, take a look at this. This woman had a blood pressure of 220 over 170, right? And then the doctor's saying, we got to get you to the hospital right away, get treatment. This is way too, just out of control, right? And she's sitting there, she's saying, oh, no, I feel great. I don't feel anything. So what we did is we rushed her to the hospital. How it happens, basically, you know, we get a motorcycle. They have these things called Borda Bordas. They call them Borda Borda. And they're motorcycle taxis, right? And they're everywhere. They're everywhere. They're zooming around. So we hired one of those Borda Bordas and put her on this Borda Borda and rushed her to the hospital. Those are kind of things that we do, right? And we had 10 HIV AIDS cycles broken. Because we have a lab, we catch a lot of this stuff, right? So what happened was, you know, this doctor sends them for a blood test that we have right there. And it's a church, and the church is not like this. You know, we have the floor, we have chairs, we have a nice roof, lights. It's like, at times it's like almost like a dirt floor or a concrete floor, right? But we set it up in there. Sometimes it gets kind of dusty, right? But the Lord is moving, right? And that's one thing that we want to be a part of. You know, we're here to help the needy, right? Those who God, you know, he loves the needy, right? And we're there to care for them. So those are some of the things that we do in Uganda. And you have a microphone in your hand. Go ahead. You have to put that to your mouth. They can't hear you. Can you hear?
Yeah. Are we
good? Sorry.
Okay. Ah. Oh, there I am. Yes. I was going to have to use my grandmother's voice, and you don't want that. We have 10 grandbabies, and they're like, whoa, if they're all in the same house, you're like, you have to use your grandmother's voice. And I think all I was going to add to that was, I know there was an invitation sent out by my husband. But as a church, you can get involved here in very a lot of different ways. I mean, the products back there were made by people in the community, so you can purchase some of that. But some of the things we like Rick was saying, that we take for granted are things like reading glasses. There's organizations that have taken Bibles out, but due to some of the stuff that's in the water, some of the eyes are affected. And those of us who wear glasses absolutely know that that it is really hard. You can't see if you don't have glasses. I can't see, you know, if I don't have glasses. And so what we do is take as many even dollar store reading glasses with us. And at the medical camps, we wound up handing them out. And it's really interesting to see because people will walk for hours and hours and hours to get to the medical camp. And they get there, and they are seen by physicians and nurses, and we got beautiful reports of how they are, of what was done there. If any of you are interested and you want to validate what we do there, we're really good with that. So we have a couple of reports for the last two times we went. But our reading glasses, you know, the ones you get at the dollar store, you know, the ones are at the cart wheel before you go out, grabbing those, and then we have an ongoing like collection of reading glasses, and so that would help. So that, yeah, you know, would cost you know, any of you a dollar or $1.50, whatever those they are. So if you start collecting, Shannon, hopefully that's okay. We could, you know, have dollar store reading glasses, even though, and the really fancy ones that are at Costco, 3 for $20, like that would be great too. But we take them, and they're really appreciated here, there, and not just the 125s. A lot of the people really need them at that, like 250s, you know, the plus 250s and plus, was it 300s? Is that the good, really strong reading glasses? So those are really, would be appreciative. So, yeah, Shannon would, if you collect some, we'll come grab some before Pastor Rick goes. Another thing we found out 4 or 5 years ago, because we embed ourselves in community. We live in community. We stay at people's homes in community. We've never stayed in a hotel when we've gone there. So we live, sleep, eat with community. So if you come, you'll be living, eating, sleeping in community, which gives you a really different perspective than staying very often in a hotel, right? And one of the things we found out very quickly is a lot of the women and the children don't go to school or don't go to work for a 1 week a month while they're the week that they're menstruating. And they wound up not going because they don't have any... The diseases Rick talked about, you know, high blood pressure and diabetes, if they're not genetic, then they're because of poverty, because of what you're eating or not eating. And very often, feminine hygiene products go to the very bottom of the list after food, after taking care of whatever it is you need to do. Feminine hygiene products are at the very bottom of the list. So 4 or 5 years ago, we had a lady who was interested in coming actually come. She says, I actually have... two or three ladies who just sew. We met her at an event, and so she says, I want to sew some feminine hygiene products for the women there. And so what she's been doing is connecting with the lady, with the woman who has made some of the products back there, to say, talk about dimensions, talk about whatever it is. And there's certain fabrics that you can only get here that you can't get there. Some of the waterproof fabrics, they really can't get there. So what they've done is actually put together packages of these products that are washable, that are hangable, that include a bag, a beautiful little bag that you can carry in your purse and they've really, really thought about this whole process. And so right now, as we speak, we have, you know, the biggest suitcases you can get and carry on your plane. We have two of those filled.
100 pounds.
100 pounds of feminine hygiene, washable feminine hygiene products that we take. It is simply reality. Poverty is simply, that is how it's reflected there. And so we take them, and the women and the girls are very, very grateful and thankful because they can now go to school all month. They can now go to work all month. And something we think is as basic as that, that need is met. So I just want to let you know that it isn't, there's medications for everything that we go and we buy there, but there's also really, really basic needs that are met as well. And if you go, it changes your absolute perspective of what you have here. We're such a blessed people. We really are. We're a very, very blessed people. And I think all of us, you know, have, sometimes they think, oh, I just wish something, I don't know, whatever. But we're very we're blessed people. But to be able to go with those products, we're very, it just really makes you look and think, I'm grateful and thankful to be, you know, who I am. But the needs there are, some of them are really, really basic. So I just want to share that with you. Yeah, and I'll leave that with you. Okay.
Also, the products in the back goes toward our mission, so if you want to just peruse through there, that, you know, you could do that. The person that made them, we call her our daughter in Uganda. She's a tailor. She calls her, I call her seamstress. She goes, Dad, don't call me seamstress. I don't know what that is. So, okay, I'm a tailor. Okay, you're a tailor. Okay, so she's a tailor. And we have bags. We have bags, actually. You know how we can't get bags from Save On or Safeway or whatever. So she made these little bags that you put your products in. Also some aprons. I know some people have bought them before here. We're here. I don't know. We're here for several different type of meetings with the FCA, right? But anyways, those things are there. Our daughter would be really grateful that you we could keep her employed. And anyways, that's about a little bit about our mission in Africa. So we're going in November. If you want to, the website is very simple to go look at. What we're doing is hfncm.ca, hfncm.ca. If you have your smartphone, you can actually take a look at it if you want. But anyway, that's, thank you, honey. That's basically who we are. We've been ministry, 20, 30, like Carol says, 30 years. I was pastoring, founded a church before. It's called River City Church. Now it's the Summit Church in Edmonton. So after we left River City Church, we planted Heart for the Nations. And how many of you know that COVID messed things up? Right? COVID just threw a wrench in everything. It's like a devil. He's out there. He's trying to stop what God's doing, right? That's his assignment, right? That's how he works, right? God has a call on the church, right? God has a call for the people. You know, the church is not a building, right? The church are the people. You are church, you be church, right? That's who you are. You're not just a Christian. In fact, you know, a Christian can be defined by several different ways, right? I know when I grew up, going to school back there somewhere, like many years, right? I don't like to look at my birth date because I say, I don't feel like that. But anyways, way back then, you know, you decide if you're going to public school or Catholic school, but you're still a Christian, right? Used to be a Christian nation, wasn't it? Founded on principles of God, so-called, right? So now we have a lot of turmoil happening within our nation right now that really affects, you know, how we live, right? You turn on the television, what do you see? You know, or you go out there and try to function as a normal individual, but you're battling a lot of things, right? And there's a lot of oppression and there's a lot of pressure upon the church today to actually become or mimic society, right? So society really is trying to infiltrate the church. How many of you know that? So that's what's happening right now, right? And when you go and look around and some of the churches, COVID shut down a lot of churches. Did you know that? A lot of churches shut down. A lot of churches, capacity of 500 now have 150 or 200, right? I'm blessed to see you here today, right? I'm seeing a people who are remnant, right? Of people who are interested and sold out and saying, God is going to do something with me, right? It was a blessing to come here and hear songs I haven't heard in a long time. And I'm sitting there singing these songs and think, man, this is taking me back to when I was saved, right? And then now I'm going like, wow, you know, God is working, right, in Camrose with a bunch of people, right? And God is working in you. I want you to know that you all have a purpose, right? You're not here sitting here aimlessly, without purpose. God has given you a purpose, right? Because he just doesn't create you just to sit around, right? That's not what he does, right? He creates you to be his child, his ambassador. That's why we do what we do, because we're ambassadors of Christ, right? So God has not just created you just to occupy space. Unfortunately, what happens sometimes we get so comfortable in our Christianity and in our life, and we find ourselves occupying space. rather than taken on the purpose of God. And there's several reasons behind that, right? Some might think that, you know, they don't have what it takes to do what God has given them to do. And that's the first prerequisite, actually. Did you know that? If you're all full of yourself, then God can't really use you because you're the only thing that, you know, you're interested in is what you feel. But if you have this, you know, desire that God is putting you and thinking like, wow, you know, God has given me something to do, but, you know, how can I do it? You know, I'd had no idea I'd end up in Africa. I had no idea I'd be ministering to people who are destitute and needing medical attention. I had no idea that, you know, I'd be ministering to pastors. I remember one time when I just, you know, got saved, and I felt the call of God in my life, right? And I'm sitting here in the pew listening to my pastor preach, and I'm thinking, I can't be like him, right? Then the Lord told me, well, you're right. You can't be like him. He's him. You're you, right? So don't start comparing yourself to anybody else that you could be like, because God made you unique. You have to understand that. When God has given you a call and given you his spirit in you, he's activated you for that purpose that he has created you for. Not anybody sitting to the left and the right. That's why we're called the body of Christ. Right? The eye can't do what the foot can do. Right? The nose can't do what the ear can do. Right? So we can't be comparing ourselves that way, but how we can compare is God has all given us a mandate. You know, the biggest vision that you can have is spreading the gospel of Christ. Simple. I've seen only one actual vision statement in the Bible, and that's found in Acts chapter 2. You know, right when Jesus was ascended up into heaven. But before that, he told the disciples, or now apostles, he's saying to them, you know, now you're ready. Go out in power and by the Spirit of God and, you know, affect nations, really is what he's saying. I have called you to affect nations. I have called you to affect people, to bring the gospel of Christ by power. And the Spirit of God empowers you to do what you have to do in your life. It's just like, you know, in Zerubbabel, you know, he's watching the temple, you know, and he's thinking, okay, I've got all this oppression. And then the Spirit of God says, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And that's what I want to give you today. That God is moving in you to do what God has given you to do if you let him. But sometimes what happens, we get too, you know, occupied with what I can't. I can't do this, I can't do that. But, you know, in reality, sometimes I can't. Do you know, when I was younger, there's no way I would even have a peep of a word to say when I'm sitting with more than one person. I thought I had nothing valuable to say. Right? And that's how I grew up. Because when I grew up, it was a little bit of a turmoil in my life. And we'll get into that a little bit. But I want to tell you that God has given you a dream. It doesn't matter if you're 5 or 50 or 100. You're not here just to occupy space. You're here to take on what God has given you to take on, no matter what. Fill in to do worship, you know, minister to somebody in the back, go on a mission trip, and none of these jobs are better than any other. They're all, you know, they're all honorable positions in the body of Christ. You know, you can wash the toilet. In fact, that's probably the most important job in this church. I'm serious. I mean, I like to go into a bathroom that's all filthy. No. So whoever's washing the toilets, give them a commendation today. Right? I'm serious. Because we tend to look down on different jobs. right? And that's how it works, right? That's the body of Christ. That's what that's church, right? And church doesn't end when you leave the building, right? You don't fold up the building and say, I'm done for another week. I'll come back next week and da da, right? Fold back up again, and now you have another day that you come to gather together. Church is, you know, you're out there. That's what Jesus said. You go out there, right? And you preach the gospel. You live your life, right? Be a testimony. Be a witness to what God is doing in your life so that others can see it, right? I know that the devil is working to destroy that dream, that purpose. He's there. He's there to discourage you. He's there to, you know, give you a bunch of things in your head that you're thinking, well, you know, maybe such and such doesn't like me anymore. And maybe, you know, he's trying to put disruption within the church, right? And he's trying to disrupt the body of Christ. Note this, if something is happening in church and you're kind of agitated about it, don't buy into it. Don't buy into it, because that's a plot of the enemy to divide and conquer. That's what he does. That's his specialty, right? And he puts things in your mind, right? He puts these things, well, where did that thought come from? You know, he's there to tempt you, right? Temptation is not a sin. It's the act of the temptation. We're all going to get tempted to do something, right? No matter who you are, right? But the action of the temptation, right? So he's out there to destroy the dream. Why do you think we have so many amazingly talented hurting people? Right? Many people are talented and they have so much to offer, but they're hurt, the place of hurt, and then they kind of shut right down. The enemy is out there to discourage you. He is there. He's real, right? Yeah, you know, and the enemy, he's there to discourage you, and many have succumbed to the wiles of the devil. Remember Ephesians 6:11, right? The Apostle Paul is writing to the Ephesian church and he's saying that, you know, there's a warfare and we're fighting it. It's not against flesh and blood. What is it against? Principalities and powers of this dark age. There's an assignment from the beginning of the birthing of the church. There's an assignment against it. But you know what? We win. We win. Right? He's not going to prevail against the church, because we're aware of him. And God has mandated the purpose, or his purpose is upon you. Do you know you're like Jesus? You're like Jesus out there. And one day, you know, you might talk to somebody and not be the only Jesus somebody would ever have an encounter with. Right? You're part of his body, right? You're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but you're wrestling and you're encountering demonic activity, you know, as you go on, right? It's just like you know the Exodus story, right? You know, Moses. What a life that Moses guy. There's a decree out to kill all the male children of Israel, right? But Moses made it through because, you know, God's hand was on him, right? And God protected him within, you know, his little ark, his basket, right? And grew up to be, right, you know, who he was. He was the prince of Egypt. But God had a different plan for him, because there's a purpose in him, right? And so after God has called him, he had an encounter at It's a long story, so I'm not going to get into that too much because I'll be here all day. But remember when you had the encounter at the burning bush? Right? God, you know, and he had an encounter with him and totally changed his life. Like, it's like kind of messed him up a little bit. Right? Can you imagine having an encounter with God at a burning bush and this thing's not being consumed? And all of a sudden, you know, something clicked on, you know, a light came on, right? I guess I have a purpose, right? And really, you know, we as individuals need that encounter with God. Above all else, you know, if you're going to come here, listen to this, you know, message, and you say, oh, this is a great message, this is a bad message, or whatever it is, have that encounter with God. A lot of Christians are missing that encounter. They're too busy, you know, trying to do everything perfect. Do you know what I mean? It becomes a little bit of a religious type of paradigm, right? That everything has got to be like this. But you know what? I feel comfortable when things go wrong. You know why? Because that means I'm not in total control. Right? So, you know, if something goes haywire and you forget that whatever it was, you know, the declaration, you know, it's fine. It's okay. Because we have to be in this place of reality, right? Right? And let God just be God, right? And so, but know that, you know, the Egyptian ruler was like the devil. He's out there to get Israel because he didn't like them multiplying. Note that the devil, Satan, doesn't like the church multiplying, right? And so what happens is he's going to try to stop it. And unfortunately, in the last few years, we've seen that happen. I know when COVID hit, I was in my prayer closet, and I'm going, God, what is going on? You know, how do I take this? I said, I'm going to reveal the hearts of the people, of my people. Right? And then we saw a whole exodus of so-called Christians, I guess. And we call them Christians, okay? But I have a better word for us here as believers. Right? I think there's a difference, don't you think? You can label, you can put a label on your forehead and say, this is what I am. Or, you know, you can parade a flag or whatever, but what's deep inside of you? See, that's what God is really interested in, right? He's interested with what's inside of this heart, right? Not on the surface, right? He's interested in your heart. So, Egyptian ruler was out there to destroy the dream, right? And note this, as soon as you say yes to God, you're a target by the devil. He wants to frustrate you. He wants to beat you down. He wants to make you think that you're not able or capable of doing whatever. You know, he attacks marriages. How many of you know if marriages have been attacked and fallen apart? I think, you know, one time back, probably 40 years ago, you know, very rarely you'd be raising your hand. But I want to see how many people know people have had their marriages fall apart. Raise your hand. Right? It's common. We had some marriages fall apart in our family. Why? Because there's too much self-interest happening. Right? And so